Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 7 of Movement Thinker. My name is Dr. Vince Gutierrez. I'm a physical therapist. You can find me at movementthinker.org and goodliferehab.com. So today's episode is going to be about socialized medicine and a case study that came out in one of the journals. I'll cite the journal at the end of the study. So we all have our own opinions regarding socialized medicine, but let's just look at some of the research from countries that actually provide socialized medicine. And so this article is based on the system in Australia. Quote, a 34-year-old male referred by his primary physician to the orthopedic outpatient department for carpal tunnel. The PT referred the patient back to the GP, general practitioner, and suggested that the GP organize nerve conduction studies to confirm carpal tunnel syndrome before the patient would be offered an appointment with a surgeon. Seeing a physical therapist to help clarify the diagnosis and see if the symptoms would respond to conservative treatment. All right, so this is a mouthful. Check it out. So let's start with some of the major differences between the Australian system and the U.S. system. So the PT is the gatekeeper to see the surgeon in Australia. The PT's opinion or consultation was taken seriously, and the patient was sent back to the primary physician to order the tests before seeing the surgeon. Keeping it simple, therapists do therapy, right? Surgeons do surgery. It is wasteful to send a patient to a surgeon if the patient does not need surgery. It is not efficient to send a patient to a surgeon to order more tests. Also, the PT would help to clarify the diagnosis in Australia. For a long time, therapists in this country have been treated more like technicians, only capable of performing the treatments that the physician deemed appropriate. This is simply not the case anymore. We are a doctoring profession. Not that this in and of itself places us on a pedestal, but some of us continue to expand our knowledge base and have become professionals at both movement and classification of patients. This has to be respected, sought after, and rewarded. Not necessarily monetarily, but at least with more opportunities to demonstrate our abilities. The next quote. Initially assessed by another outpatient physiotherapist, computer worker with a 4 to 5 year history of altered sensation in the left upper limb, including numbness, pins and needles, and pain in the hand and thumb, and pain around the lateral aspect of the elbow, gradually worsening, and he's using his left hand less in everyday activities. By the by, this was session number 1, which we will call day 1. Again, the body is a roadmap. Symptoms that are referred to the hand can come from anywhere that sends information to the hand. So let's break it down in layman's terms. When you flip the switch on a lamp and the light doesn't turn on, what's the problem? First, the light may be burned out, right? This is akin to the muscle not working appropriately or a problem at the location of the perceived problem. In this instance, the hand. The problem could also be the power cord. This is similar to a problem coming from a nerve that travels from the hand up to the neck. Any of the nerves that supply the hand could be frayed, for lack of a better term, right? And finally, the cord could be unplugged. And in this case, the electricity isn't even making it to the power cord. This is similar to a problem with the brain spinal cord area. So if the brain can't send the signal appropriately to the power cord, then the hand won't work correctly. This is obviously becoming a problem for this particular patient as he is slowly de-emphasizing the uses of his left hand. Sorry if you hear my kids in the background, they're playing. Next quote, full active and passive range of motion. Left shoulder flexion produced pins and needles in the hand. When a patient raises his arm overhead, most people can see how the muscles work and that the shoulder joint must be moving somehow. What people don't see is how this plays on the nerves of the body. When a patient reaches forward, this pulls on the nerves of the body and sometimes can increase the patient's symptoms. Session 2 was 2 weeks later, and quote, non-dermatomal distribution of hand symptoms, the presence of night pain that consistently disturbed the patient's sleep. All right, red flags, right? Think of the Jaws theme song, right? Do 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 do. And so when you hear the words red flag, that's a big issue, right? And so red flags are bad. And so non-dermatomal pattern means that the symptoms don't match the roadmap of the spine. If a problem is coming from one location, it would typically refer to one location in the hand. If it is coming from multiple locations, then it would refer to multiple locations in the hand. If you've ever heard the phrase Occam's razor, this means that the simplest solution is typically the correct solution. Two separate lesions in the spine occurring at the same time may not be as likely as one solution, right? And so there could be a space-occupying lesion, also known as a spinal tumor. Secondly, the patient is waking during the night due to symptoms. This is also a red flag for cancer, right? This is 2 weeks later, and the suspicion of a non-mechanical pain, otherwise known as a spinal tumor, is introduced. This is where the timeline starts to play a role between socialized medicine and U.S. healthcare. For those that don't know, this topic is close to my heart, as I wrote a paper on a similar topic on cancer and being the primary physical therapist and the first one to note the red flags. Okay, the next quote is, after 10 repetitions, full active range of motion had been restored in all directions. Upper limb tension test was pain-free and full range of motion with both median and radial bias. Okay, so MDT is also known as mechanical diagnosis and therapy. The mechanical portion of this means what happens to the patient when we move the patient, right? In this case, the patient's mechanics, also known as the ability to move, improved in all directions. The upper limb tension test, which is pulling on the nerves to assess their irritability, had improved after performing retraction and extension. This is a common exercise given in mechanical diagnosis and therapy. When we see that a patient is improving with a treatment, we first assume that whatever we did actually helped the patient. I mean, why wouldn't it? It's not like we think we're special, but we do our best to be objective and not bias the patient to say that this treatment made them better. If the patient improves, well, then the puzzle's solved, right? If the patient tells me that they improved, but actually didn't, then I did a poor job of establishing trust. There has to be openness between the patient and the therapist. Some research actually shows that patients will tell the therapist what they want to hear instead of what is actually true. I hope this doesn't happen to me, but then I'd be fooling myself. As a therapist, I can't help you 100% if you're not being 100% truthful. All right, now back to the case. Session 3, 1 week later. Reduced elbow pain during the day and no elbow pain at night, fewer pins and needles, but the numbness in the finger was unchanged. Numbness in the hand had remained unchanged. At this point, we are 3 weeks and the third session. Don't get me wrong. I like this style of therapy in which the patient is given a homework assignment and then returns to the clinic for PT in order to problem solve the symptoms. Our current system has the patient coming to therapy 2 to 3 times per week for 4 weeks. I'm sorry, but if we look at normal healing for most musculoskeletal issues, it's typically 6 weeks. So think about that. We know that it could take up to 6 weeks to treat an injury, and you will be coming to therapy for up to 12 visits, and still not enough time has passed in order for an injury to heal. We know this, but as I stated in a previous post, healthcare is big business. The patient's numbness was unchanged at the end of the session, but all else is better. At this point, the therapist has to start to think that the numbness is non-mechanical and start doing differential diagnosis internally as to why the numbness remains unchanged. Session 4 was 2 weeks later. Patient reported a bad week as he had intermittently increased left arm pain after sneezing and coughing, and the numbness was unchanged still. So we're now at week 5, and the patient is unchanged. One of the red flags that is in the research is no improvement following 30 days of treatment. At this point, medical assessments should be advised and the patient should be scheduled for that surgical consultation. Session 5 was 4 days later. So the patient reported being better after the previous session, but ongoing numbness in the left fingers. Now an appointment was arranged with an orthopedic surgeon who requested an MRI of the cervical spine, which is the neck, to investigate the possibility of spinal canal or foraminal narrowing, meaning one of the holes in the neck may be closing down, and to examine the possibility of a compression lesion or a space-occupying lesion. Okay, so we're now at 6 weeks total. In America, this would have been about 12 to 18 sessions instead of 5 sessions, okay? We would still be at the same endpoint, but the cost savings in Australia would equal about $1,300 over the course of the episode. Healthcare is a business, so return on investment has to be looked at. We get reimbursed roughly $100 per session. It makes sense that the cost of healthcare continues to increase when a patient is coming into therapy based on traditional treatment paradigms instead of current evidence or even best practice. Now, this patient has moved along in the healthcare system. Something to note is that the PT can request the MRI in order to look for foraminal narrowing, also known as stenosis, or a space-occupying lesion such as a tumor. That's in Australia. Okay, so session 6, 2 weeks later, symptoms were generally worse in the evening and better during the day. Numbness and pins and needles in the hand were intermittent. So now we're 2 months out, and the patient is waiting to see the surgeon and get the MRI. This is a downfall of the socialistic medicine, right? If this is something very serious, then the patient has waited 2 months for the MRI. Is there a right answer? I don't know. But I know that our healthcare system is broken, and a shift to a more conservative type of healthcare may be worth a shot. So the patient made it to the surgeon's clinic approximately 3.5 weeks after his last physiotherapy session. The MRI of the neck and nerve conduction studies of the left arm were ordered. The MRI was done 4 weeks later. Abnormality of the entire cervical cord. There was a solid cystic mass within the cervical cord from C4 to C6. And excision of the tumor was approximately 4 weeks later. So this guy had a huge tumor, right? This accounts for the symptoms extending in such a large location as the tumor affects the nerve roots. Think of multiple electrical outlets from varying locations. This would explain the widespread symptoms into the hand. Let's look again at the timetable. We are now 3 months out from session 1, and the patient is finally in surgery. I've seen a similar presentation in practice a couple of times, and not all were favorable outcomes. I say this from experience, as I have had 2 patients that died from a similar presentation, which was caught well before 3 months after the initial assessment. The patient in the case survived in this case study, and his symptoms improved after the surgery. So the one of the final quotes here is, "The wait to see the surgeon was a reflection of the large caseload within the orthopedic surgeon's outpatient clinic. The wait for the initial MRI was due to the prioritization system used by the medical imaging department to manage demand for so-called non-urgent musculoskeletal MRIs." Okay, so when everyone has the same insurance, everyone has the same access to healthcare. When everyone has the same access to healthcare, there are not enough practitioners to go around, and the system needs to be developed to handle the overload of patients coming into the healthcare system. We were starting to see this impact based off of Obamacare. There were so many more patients coming to the system the past 2 years that it was not uncommon to have a 2-week wait to see the therapist for the initial evaluation. So the moral of the story is, when everyone has the same right to healthcare, then no one has the same freedoms as they did previously, unless they choose to pay a portion of their healthcare out of pocket. This is doing what's best for society at the cost of the individual. More people will be insured and have access to treatment. If I am the person that has a spinal tumor, though, and I have to wait 3 months for treatment, I don't think I like this system. So the quotes and the thoughts were taken from the article by Schock, Cervical Spine Tumor Presenting as Unilateral Upper Limb Symptoms, in the International Journal of MDT in 2009. Again, if you guys have any questions, you can find me at movementthinker.org. You can find me on Facebook at Dr. Vince Gutierrez. You can find me at Functional Therapy and Rehab in Joliet. So please feel free to reach out. Thanks for listening to episode number 7.